our burdens, all our trials, all our tribulations. We're giving it to you, God, because we know you can handle it. And we love you, Jesus. God be with you until we meet again. God be with you. I love you, and Jesus does too.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevelle of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevelle or to send a love offering, go to $Shalonda Nobles. That's $SHOLONDANOBLES. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatoo. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these fathers and brothers and friends. We thank you, Lord God, for this congregation. Father, we pray that you would just bless them tremendously, consistently, and repeatedly. Bless them, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for the people that are here today gathered in your name to worship you. Father, we pray that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech that I may speak a word. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the heart of the hearer be the tablet in which you shall write upon the word of faith. The word of God, the pure word, it brings healing and deliverance, power and peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you right now for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for your power, your presence. We thank you for your peace and your joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you, God. Father, we thank you for what we feel even now in this service. Father, we thank you for your ever presence with us, that you'll never leave us alone. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who gives us what belongs to you and guides us in our path, the path that you've chosen for us. We thank you for the word of God that strengthened and sustained us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us to cure us, cleanse us, cover us, and connect us to you. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. Father, do what you want to do in this service and at this moment, this preaching moment, is your time to talk. Use me as a conduit of your word, Lord. Father, and I thank you now for the power of your Holy Spirit and the anointing that makes preaching easy. Amen. Father, do what you want to do today. We'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We'll join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, and the chant, declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to use for a simple topic, our relationship with the Father. Amen. And that should be the most important relationship that we have. Amen. Amen. When you think about our relationship with the Father, there is no other relationship more important. Things away from our life, because the pruning sometimes hurt, but the pruning is best for us so that we can produce what God purposed us to produce. Tell somebody, don't get angry when he prunes you. Amen. And sometimes prunes are good for something. How many know that? Prunes are good for moving some things in your life. You may have some blockages in your life and you need some. Y'all looking at me funny. You ain't never ate prunes before? You need something to help clean you out because you got so much junk that you've been, oh, come on and say amen, that you've been ingesting and digesting. You got so much stuff that's packed in there that you need some prunes to clean you out. Now you can, after you get rid of the stuff, you can love. God can put some good stuff in there. You can grow. God can make you feel better. You wake up in the morning, I feel so much better since God pruned me. I feel so regular. Come on and say amen. Y'all with me today? Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. He says, not only that does he prune us, but look at this. He purify us. He says, look at this. He says that now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We need the word. I was sharing with somebody one day. I said, look, just, you know, you can testify. You can do all that. You can do everything you say you want to do. But if you don't get some word, you ain't going to stand. I was just sharing. I said, you're not going to stand. You can talk all about what God has done for you, but let me tell you, that's the last thing you're going to be able to say, because you're going to go into a state of depression, or you're going to crash and burn because you can't get no word. You've got to have the word. And what does the word do here? The word, according to what Jesus is saying, the word cleans us. The word cleans us. And so any good gardener wouldn't let his garden just stay there without washing sometimes. He wants some water sometimes in the garden. I wish I had somebody. So God, he gives us his word. The Bible says by the washing of the water, by the what? Word of God. In order for us to stand, we must have the word of God. And when we have the word of God, we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're able to resist the devil. That's what Jesus did when Satan came to him and said that, you know, he was going to tempt him, and Jesus had fasted 40 days. He was the word of God. And every time Satan had something to say, Jesus said, here, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Even though I'm hungry, I know what God said, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, he told him, he said thou should not put any God before me, but serve the Lord thy God only. He said that I should not tempt the Lord my God. Jesus reminded the devil, you think you crafty in the word, I am the word. And so we need to get so much of the word till we become the word. To whenever I go through something and things hit me and seem like I'm caught off guard, I need to realize that the word of God need to come up. Amen. I don't need to cuss out. I need to bless out. I wish I had somebody. I don't need to act a fool. I need to be calm and cool so that I can get God's peace and his joy on the inside of me. Amen. So he says that if you abide in me, verse 4, I'm trying to hurry through this. He says that if you abide in me and my word abide in you. Well, let's see. If you abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear the fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. And Jesus goes on to tell them that you got a purpose here. You got a purpose. And if we look at verse 4 on down, he talks about how we have a purpose, and that purpose is to become fruitful. Amen. God sent his word, didn't he? He sent his word, what? Not only heal. I know we say that. But he sent his word to prosper the thing, this is Bible study now, the thing whereunto he sent it. So God sent his word to me, and God sent his word to you. God's intention is for us to prosper. But we spend more time worrying about us not prospering that we can't see that God already intended for us to prosper. It's all right. We spend so much time worrying about somebody stopping our blessing. Let me tell you, if the devil could stop it, he would. And since he can't, he just worried a mess out of you so you stop your own blessing. That's what he does. He gets your mind off of what God intended. He gets your mind in doubt. He gets your mind in worry. You, instead of worrying, just pray and thank God for what he's about to do. Anytime the devil turns up pressure in your life, anytime he start talking about you, anytime he start putting you down, anytime he start trying to scare you, you just need to know that God has something in store, because he don't want you to walk in faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I can't walk by what I see. I just need to go by what I know. What do you know? I know he won't fail me. I know he'll never leave me. I know that he'll be the lifter of my head. I know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody in here that say I'm with you? That I know that as many as weapons that form up against me, they shall not prosper. I know that he came that I might have life, and that more abundantly. Come on and shout hallelujah and give God some praise in here. Come on and give him glory. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. But he goes on to say, not only do you have a purpose, because God, when he created everything, he created it with a purpose. Notice that God didn't put a man in the earth. He didn't put a man in the earth till he had already created everything that the man needed. And when he put the man in the earth, he put the man there, and he didn't let it even rain until after that. Come on and say amen. He didn't let things grow until after that. The earth came up and there was a mist. There was a mist came up from the earth and it watered everything. He didn't let nothing grow until there was a man. Everything has a purpose. Eve was created because she had to be the helper to make sure things get done right. I wish I had somebody. So everything has a purpose, and God intends for everything in his vineyard to be able to produce what he intended for it to produce. Oh, glory be to God. You wondering why you keep going through the same trial? Because you hadn't produced yet. Amen. It's because you hadn't produced. You keep going through the same thing over and over because you haven't produced while God had put you in it the first time. Amen. So let's go on here. If you will find out that in verse 5 and 6, you'll find out that there's punishment. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches, and you abide in me and I in him, and the same bring forth much fruit. And without me, you can do what? Nothing. We can't do anything without him. But the Bible says through Christ, I can do what? All things. And we need to realize that that is absolutely nothing that you can do. I'm trying to encourage somebody today. Would y'all just be encouraged this morning? There's absolutely nothing that you cannot do if you just do it in Christ. But sometimes we try to do it on our own. We don't even pray about it. We think, oh, it's a good idea, but it may not be a God idea. I need to let God, oh, come on and say, man, give me the thoughts and ideas that I need. Sometimes it's a setup from the devil, but thank God that what the devil means for bad, God is always able to turn it around for my good. Because the Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. I gave you some word today. You need to accept this. The Bible said if God be for us, then who can be against us? Anybody in here realize that if God is for you, the world might as well be, because they can't win against you because of the power of God that's resting in you? The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish I had somebody in here. We are more than conquerors through him that love us. We are overcomers because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our own testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all waiting on the close. That was it right there. he says that we have some punishment. Verse 6 said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. You better watch when you keep saying, this just burning me up. They burn me up. Well, yeah, you just got out of Christ. They can burn you up because, you know, it's hard to burn a green branch, one with sap and life in it. I wish I had somebody. But once it's dead, it's easy to burn. It'll burn fast. And so I'm not so easy to get burned up. Oh, you got to put some stuff on me to burn me up. Now, because I'm able to stand against someone. And, you know, that is the main reason why the fire couldn't touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because the Bible says that as they went into the fiery furnace, they said, look, if God don't deliver us, he's still able. That doesn't mean that God can't. But when they went in there, the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw in three? Why is it that we see? We got to understand that whatever you go through, if you're connected with God, then when you're connected, the fire can't even burn you. Oh, let me preach a little bit here. Not only that, the lions can't eat you. The Red Sea can't drown you. If you're connected, oh, yes. Do I have anybody that say, I'm connected? So when my trials come my way, can't nothing hold me down. Can't nothing destroy me because I got purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to try to finish this. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hell can't handle me because I'm anointed by God. And most of all, death can't hold me down because I'm anointed. Glory be to God. How do you think Jesus went to hell and came out with those that went before him? Because they connected to the message, and he took captivity captive. And if you read the Bible, it says, and when he rose, he wasn't the only one. They said, oh, saints of old. I wish I had somebody. They got up with him, but he said, oh, y'all got to go back. Because that ain't that day yet. Come on and say amen. But we got to understand here that it's because of our connection with him that not only will we escape the flames of hell, but even the sting of death has no power over us. Glory be to God. Somebody should have said thank you. Glory be to God. He says, not only is there punishment, but let's read further. There's privilege. Verse 7 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Don't that sound like privilege? Oh, I know you. We've been hearing a whole bunch of talk about white privilege and things like that in these days. You know, we hear it on the news and people talking about it. And some people get angry about it because they ain't got to do nothing. They just, you know, by nepotism, they just get whatever it is because they can go to the bank and get a loan. And you can't go get that same loan. You can't get that same interest rate. You know, we get all upset and all bent out of shape. But we have an advantage, too. I'm not going to just go to the bank. I'm going to go to the one who owned cattle on the Thousand Hills. I'm going to go to the one who said all the silver is mine, all the gold is mine. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. I'm going to the owner. Oh, God. Hallelujah. He said that, look, you got some privilege. He said, if you abide in me, and he said, and my words abide in you, if you know how to talk to me, talk the same language that I talk, if you know how to speak the words that I've spoken, I wish I had somebody. And that is the thing we got to learn how to do. We need to learn how to talk Jesus's language. We need to learn how to talk like he talked to the Father. That's why he told us, this is how you ought to pray, our Father which art in heaven. He tried to teach us what to say in order for us to be able to get in the presence of God. I wish I had somebody. You see, let me explain something. I'm going to try to do this quickly, but let me give you a little bit of a revelation here. The Bible says that when Isaac was about, he was blind, and Jacob wanted the blessing of Esau, the Bible says that his mama said, come here, let me teach you something. She said, go and get me that goat, and then I'm going to cook it up. I'm going to make it taste just like the venison that he told Esau to go get. And here, I'm going to take the skin, and I'm going to put the hair on your arm so you'll be just like Esau. And when he went to Isaac, he said, here, Father, here's the meal. And he began to eat. He said, but your voice, he said, come closer that I may feel you. And he felt him. He said, you feel like Esau, and you even smell like Esau, but your voice is that of Jacob. Preach. You got to understand something. Jacob was, his name means a supplanter. His name means a trickster, meaning that he takes stuff that really don't belong to him. Huh? That's what his name meant. And so here he was in front of his daddy. His daddy knew that it was his voice, but because he smelled like and he felt like Esau, he decided to give him the blessing. All I'm trying to tell you is that you must put on the older brother. Preach. You got to put on Jesus. You got to be just like Jesus, even though it's my voice talking to God. God says, come a little closer. And when I get close to God and he feels me, he don't feel me, but he feels Jesus. Come on and say, man. When he smells me, he don't smell me, but he smells Jesus. And then he blesses me because I came in his presence. Lord have mercy. That one's free right there. But we got to understand, we have a privilege. If he said, if ye abide in me, if I just stay in my place, if I don't get bent all out of shape, and I don't just unpluck myself from where I'm at and walk off from him, he said, if I can just stay right here and speak the word that he gave me to speak, he said that whatever I ask the Father, he said, he'll make sure it gets done unto me. And the problem many a times is that we're not abiding because our faith is not abiding. We're asking in doubt. We're asking amiss. We're asking in hope, and we don't really have faith. Preaching here, we sometimes don't have thanksgiving when we pray to God. He said, make your request be made known through what? Thanksgiving. We got to understand that's what he said. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you got the privilege of your prayers being answered. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I got a privilege? My prayers have been answered. I know I had some stuff that it wasn't nobody but God that delivered me. I know it had some things that was above what I could do, and God came in and stepped in on time. He was right on time. He didn't come when I called him at first, but he knew exactly when to step in and show himself strong to me. I was sweating it out while God was working it. I wish I had somebody. Oh, come on and give God some praise. Oh, you know how we sing this song, how you gonna pay your rent with all your money spent? Little bit to buy some food, baby need a pair of shoes, life will do, but God will work it out. Won't he work it out? I say, won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Let me try to get done here. I'm trying to get finished. I'm sorry. Try to get done here. He says in verse number 8, he said, herein is my Father glorified. Now, we got to understand that there's a provision. after this. If we got our right relationship, we have a privilege and we also have a provision. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my, so shall you be my disciples. So what he's saying here is that whenever you pray, God is not trying to hold anything back from you. He will withhold no good thing from you, because if you get it, then it glorifies him. But see, we try to brag on our prayer life. We try to brag on how we prayed. No. It was because he did it. It wasn't because I was so, you know, because let me tell the truth, I panicked. But God kept me. Let me tell the truth. I didn't know what I was going to do. But so happened I abided in him by chance, and he kept me. All right. I know I'm the only one. I'm the only one in here that sometimes look like I want to call the 911, spiritual 911, and say, Lord, come help me right now. And it don't seem like it's working. I know I ain't the only one. It got to be somebody else in here that say, I called on him and looked like it just wasn't going to happen. And all of a sudden, he flipped the page and the Holy Ghost brought me through. And somehow, some way, my soul looked back and wonder how I even got over, because I know I wasn't right whenever I got in my mess. I know I wasn't perfect, but God still loved me. God still brought me out. Do I have any witnesses here? We got to see the provision of the Lord. He said, herein is my Father glorified. And the whole reason why we exist is to bring the glory of the Father to the earth. So when Satan tries to come against you, the Bible says resist the devil. He says submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. And how does that work? The reason why it works is because it's God in me. God in me shows up. That's why when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under so much pressure. And when you're pressured, whatever it is that's pressuring you, the devil has put that weight on you. All it's doing is squeezing, and God in you is beginning to ooze out to the outside, so that you'll be so awed down with the presence of God, like Jesus was when he went to the cross and he went to hell. He was so all down with the presence of God that he slipped through hell, slipped out of hell, went to the grave and slipped out of the grave. Do I have any witnesses here? And so whenever you get pressure, just know that God is trying to get what's on the inside to come to the surface on the outside. And so I've been under some pressure, Pastor. I've been through some stuff, Pastor, and it seemed like the things that I've been through, they are weighing me down. Don't worry about it. The all of God is going to get you through this. And all God is trying to do is all you down, so that when the devil try to hold on to you, you'll slip right through his hand. Everything that he try to put on you, you'll slide. I said this some months ago. I think I need to remind somebody. Whenever you put all on something and you try to make something stick, that's why when they try to lie on you, it won't stick. That's why when sickness come to your way, it won't stick, because I'm too all down with God's presence. I'm too anointed for it to stick. So whenever you put that stuff, you try to stick a label on me, devil, it won't work. It's going to fall. All right. Oh, do I have anybody in the house that said it won't stick? Tell them it won't work, because I'm too anointed for it to work. I'm all down with the presence of God. Yeah, I've been pressured, but thank God that even though I've been pressured, I'm able to stand through it all. Oh, come on and say amen here. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice what he said. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. He said, and if you've kept my Father's commandments, he said, I abide in his love. And so what Jesus is saying is that if you can just obey what I said, he said, you'll be right there in the place of love. And God will answer you in love. I wish I had somebody here. He said, and these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I don't know about you, but I think I can sing that old song. After all I've been through, I still have joy. Do I have anybody that say, I've been through hell, I've been through high water, I've been lied on, I've been talked about, I've been buked, I've been scorned, talked about sure as you're born, but I still have joy. If it had not been for the joy of the Lord, I would not have made it. He said, I want you to have joy. Why do he want us to have joy? He said, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. The Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Do I have anybody that say, I'm just like Jesus? I'm going to endure my cross because I got joy of what's coming after the cross. Come on and shout yes. Shout yes here. He said, you got joy, that his joy may fill you and that it might remain in you. Anybody need joy? Yeah, I need joy. The Bible says that he'll give us this joy, that our joy might remain. Oh, come on and say amen. He'll give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. But not only will he give us joy, but he said, I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Do I have anybody? We're worried about growth. We're worried about this. But I came to let you know that if you got a right relationship with God, don't you worry about a thing, because everything is going to be all right. I ain't worried about what they say. I ain't worried about what I heard and they say. I ain't worried about the street committee. But what I'm thinking about is focusing in on what God has said. Paul said it like this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to what's before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and shout yes here and give God some praise. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I want to praise his name. When I think about Jesus carrying the cross and dying on the cross, and when he died, he had to borrow a tomb, but he rose up from the dead. When he gave the tomb back on the third day, they said it was early. Somebody say early. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Do I have anybody that say, I know about this power because the power rose up in me, the power of God. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost power. I'm talking about anointing power. I'm talking about healing power. Come on and shout a yes in here and give God some praise. If you can abide in the vine, and come on and say yes here. Won't God bless your life? Won't God fix your life? Won't God heal you? Come on, say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? I understand today what it means to say, won't he, won't he? And when I think about the things that God has done for me, sometimes I say, won't he, won't he? But other times I say, but God. Because if it had not been for God, I was sick in my body. But God. Oh, come on, they lied on me. But God. Looked like the enemy was coming at me. But God, he came in one way and he fled out seven ways. But God, anybody in here can say, but God, I know the enemy was at you, but God made a way where there was no way. There was a door in front of you that the enemy shut in your face. But God, he opened up windows. Ain't there more windows in the house than there are doors? So God opened up the windows of heaven and poured you out a blessing. Come on and shout a yes here and give God some praise. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I won't have to doubt him because I know too much about him. Come on and shout yes. Come on and shout glory. Y'all ain't saying nothing in here. Ain't nobody happy but me about my relationship with God. Can't nothing break that. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. I'm about to go my seat, but before I go, for you 9 or 10 that's helping me preach, would you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may not know 3 things, I may not know 2 things, but 1 thing I know, I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Say yeah, say yeah. Say yeah, I know he's all right.
I say, is he all right? Is he all right to live with? Is he all right to walk with? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I'm his own. That's how I know that the Lord is all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. He's all right. Yes, he is. He's all right to connect with. We network with everybody else.